You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Is your doctor good at making you feel better? Is he sympathetic about your ailments, like Dr. Kildare used to do on TV? Or maybe he should be just acting. He could be just acting like Dr. Kildare. Does he deserve an Oscar? Maybe he should. Well, this week, researchers writing in the Journal of the American Medical Association suggest that doctors who act kindly toward their patients may be better healers. And what about doctors who are not Golden Globe material? Who know, do they have no idea how to act kindly toward their patients? Go to acting school. By understanding and practicing acting techniques, doctors can actually make their patients feel better, says this study. And it's not just good for the patient. The study says that empathy can help doctors feel better, too. Acting doctors suffer less burnout, more satisfaction, according to the researchers from the University of Washington Business School and Group Health Cooperative. Should medical students then take acting classes? Are we entering a world of hypocritical health care? How can we tell if a man in a white coat is sincere? Can doctors actually be caring people? Or is the profession so difficult that they have to fake it? Maybe doctors are now more like that character House, you know, the new TV series doctor with the bad attitude. Maybe he needs to go to acting school. We'll find out. If you'd like to take part in our discussion, give us a call. Our number is 1-800-989-8255. Eric B. Larson is the director of the Center for Health Studies at the Group Health Cooperative in Seattle. He is one of the authors of the JAMA article about acting doctors. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Larson.
Nice to be here.
How do you get into studying acting doctors?
Well, the idea came when I sat on a graduate student PhD committee, and I listened to Jing Yao, who became my colleague in this study, describe the work that's been done in business around emotional labor. And as she described this field, I said, you know, that's part of the work of doctors. We have labor with our mind, we have labor with our bodies, but we also exert emotional labor. So she and I decided to see if we could study the doctor-patient relationship in the context of emotional labor.
Wait, you have to stop, because I think emotional labor is sort of a jargon word we're not familiar with, a phrase. What is emotional labor when you talk about that?
Well, emotional labor is a display of emotion that shows a person how you feel, and in business, it's a desirable display. So it's like a flight attendant. That's where the original work was done, where Delta Airline trained its flight attendants to display a certain kind of behavior, so they're always displaying the proper company image.
Oh, so they have the painted-on smile, that sort of thing?
That's I think, of a very superficial understanding of it, but that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. And so how would this then apply to doctors?
Well, I believe that one of the most important thing a doctor can do is to express empathy and feel, if you will, for his or her patient. And that can be work. And one of the ways to understand that kind of work is to think of it as emotional labor and to think of it consciously as something that we really need to do. And again, in spite of the way you introduce this, it's not an end in itself. You're exerting this emotional labor because you want to do a better job taking care of your patient. You want to feel more for that person, and therefore the patient will feel better.
But, you know, some doctors, like all people, just are not natural emotional laborers, you know? They don't naturally show you the concern that they have. Do we need to have actors, you know, doctors become more of actors that way?
Most doctors probably don't. I think what this work tells people is we should be conscious of what we're doing. We should be, it's kind of like what Plato would say, know thyself. Know what we're doing includes emotional labor. Know that our patients expect us to be empathetic, and know that we really want to feel this way.
Mm-hmm. Can you train a doctor, I mean, to have key phrases or words or questions that would show the emotional labor they're in?
You can train a doctor in terms of what you'd say sort of techniques, and you can train a person how to express a feeling or use words to make a person who's the patient feel comfortable with the doctor. But I think to get into the deep acting, which we advocate, the doctor has to want to feel and experience what the patient is experiencing.
Do you recommend then really sending them to acting school?
I do not recommend sending all doctors to acting school, but if a doctor is having trouble expressing empathy or feels uncomfortable or might be sort of burning out because they've been acting all their life in a superficial way, then yes, acting school would be very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Do you have doctors in acting school?
No, but part of the training of our doctors at Group Health includes an assessment of their ability to show empathy and an offer if they're having trouble. To have a series of exercises, if you will, that provides them with feedback to say you are or you aren't, kind of connecting with your patient in a positive way.
Does it show positive signs for the health of the doctor, too, when this happens?
Well, that to me is a really interesting thing, is because we've always grappled with this notion of burnout and cynicism. And what the emotional labor literature says is that persons who work with genuine feelings as opposed to manufactured or artificial feelings are much less likely to burn out and much more likely to be satisfied with their work. And if I can add one other point here, I think one of the most satisfying things about being a doctor is sharing an intense feeling with your patients.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned this new series, maybe on CBS, I don't remember, House, the doctor who... Mm-hmm. who is so cranky and curmudgeonly that he's just the opposite of what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's burned out?
Well, he could be. I'm not that familiar with the series, but I was the director of the University Hospital for 13 years, and there are doctors who literally burn out, and they either need a break or they need some counseling or they need some help. But I would tell you that the vast, vast majority, 99%, are not burned out.
Mm-hmm. 1-800-999-8255 is our number. Let's see if we can go to Sherry in Columbus. Hi, Sherry.
Hi. I just want to say I entirely agree that there's nothing more rewarding than being empathetic with your patients, but I sort of have to nitpick at your introduction. It's not just men in the white coats anymore.
I knew I was going to hear about that.
as a physician, I entirely agree that there's nothing more rewarding as part of being a physician than, sharing with your patients sort of their joys and triumphs and even their defeats.
Do you find that you have to force yourself to do this?
Oh, no. It's what I really enjoy about my job.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, in sort of the healthcare milieu it is today, there's not really any other reason to be a physician. If you don't really enjoy interacting with your patients, I can't see why somebody would put in the hours and things that we do.
Hmm. Dr. Larson?
I agree with Sherry 100%, and I think one of the very good things that has happened to medicine is there are more women in medicine, and it seems that women may come to this a little more naturally than men do. But it's clearly not just women, but both men and women should experience this kind of satisfaction as well as do a better job with their patients.
Thank you, Dr. Sherry.
Thank you.
You're welcome. How do you know when a doctor is a good candidate for this kind of emotional labor?
That's a very good question, and I think part of it is learning what their motivations are. You start with this notion of service, and learning what makes a person satisfied. And if people can express in a convincing way that they enjoy or they get satisfaction from providing service, and combining that with science and skill, that is often the ideal combination of traits that would identify this kind of a person.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, when you're talking to somebody, it's difficult on a telephone, but if you can look at somebody and you can feel them feel you, as opposed to have this experience of it's just a mirror with nothing coming back.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do first for the doctor? How do you tease this out of the doctor?
Well, one of the things that I believe in is you help a doctor in training have a chance to see patients over time and build a relationship. It's much easier to empathize and much more natural to empathize with a person who's been your patient for a while. It's challenging to see somebody just once and try to figure out where it is they're coming from and what they're experiencing, especially when you're early on in your career. But if you have an experience of seeing a person over weeks or months or even years, you are more likely to begin to have that experience of empathy.
Well, how can you share it, though, when you've got 15 minutes in the office with them?
Well, that's a good question, but it's clearly not just a matter of time. I think part of it is expressing to a person that you care about them, expressing to a person in your emotions that you are there for them, not for you, and paying full attention to that person that you're with as opposed to being constantly distracted. But it's not just a matter of time. You can actually show empathy in minutes or not show empathy and be with somebody for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm.
Is there any kind of hand-holding or touching of tactile sense that's involved here? Or
it depends to some extent on the culture. Some cultures, the touching is very important. Other cultures, it would be regarded as inappropriate. And the touching can be a technique that would be, many would think, would be superficial if it was not heartfelt. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is that you do, whether it's touching or eye contact or shaking a hand of a person the first time you see them, it should be genuine.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much. Interesting study. Thanks for taking time to talk with us.
Yeah. Nice to talk to you.
We've been talking with Eric Larson, director of the Center for Health Studies at Group Health Cooperative in Seattle, Washington. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, vaccine production. I mean, how do we, if we had that vaccine, if that bird flu should morph into something that's really contagious in the human population and spread around the world, could we make enough vaccine for it? I mean, what should we do? Was the vaccine situation in trouble? We'll talk about possible ways to deal with it, maybe how to fix it. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break. I'm Ira Flatow, and this is Talk of the Nation, Science Friday from NPR News.